This morning to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. I know I do. Don't you wonder why we dream the things that we dream? How many of you had good dreams last night? Okay. How many of you don't know what you dreamed last night? Okay. How many of you had bad dreams last night? Okay. Anthony, you raised your hand all three times, man. I had a dream last night. Now, there's a rule of thumb. If you tell somebody what you dream, I guarantee you they'll be bored, all right? So I'm going to be real brief. And I had a dream last night. It was terrible. It was so bad. Bad things were happening to me that when I woke up, I remember thinking, oh, that was just a dream. Oh, wow, I'm so glad that was a dream. And sometimes, though, don't you have good dreams? You wake up, you just feel good. Where do dreams come from? Who's in control of those kind of things? You know, God made us. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know from the Bible, God can use dreams. Do not assume every dream you have is God trying to talk to you. That could be dangerous. But at the same time, we have a passage here where a fellow, the king, in fact, the king of the most, at that time, the most powerful empire in the world, this king has a dream, and it says it troubled him. And you can relate to this. You've been there. He can't remember what the dream was. And he sure does want to know. Now, I think it'd be a fun study sometime, maybe in a Sunday school class or in an evening, Wednesday evening or Sunday evening services, to just go through all the different dreams in the Bible. There's a lot of them. Joseph had a dream that his brothers and his parents were going to bow down to him. And they did. Later on, of course, we know other dreams. Daniel interprets this dream, and we know that Joseph, the husband of Mary, had a dream which warned him to take Jesus to Egypt to protect him from Herod. So God does use dreams. In this case, this may be the most important dream anybody ever had. It's a substantial dream, and we'll tell you what it is later on. I'm not going to tell you the dream today, but I will tell you this. It's interesting to me that God gave the dream to the king, and then the king, not knowing what it was trying to find out, and ultimately he had to go to Daniel to find out, and Daniel had to go to God to find out, and then Daniel had to tell the king. And I thought to myself, why didn't God just tell Daniel? But there's a lesson here. And God does what he does for a reason. And that's the question is, why would God give this dream to this king? Now, I'm not going to have you stand. It's a long passage, but I'm just going to read a bit of it here, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And look at that dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. I'm in Daniel chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. I won't read too much right at first, but read a few verses here. The Bible says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, or dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Now listen carefully. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing the king requireth. There's none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, you know our heart's desire is that you could speak to the people in this room by your Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and Lord, that you'd just take me out of the way, let them hear from you. And God, I need your guidance, and I need your direction as we open this passage and look into it. And Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my words, and that you'd open the ears of the hearer. Lord, there are important things that we need to know in our life, in view of our eternity. There are important things that we need to know. And I pray today that people would learn some of those things so that they could make right choices and that they could choose the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him. I pray for folks that cannot be here today, Lord, please care for them and bring them back to us safely. But we pray now we would be focused on you and your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The king has dreamed a dream. He doesn't remember what it is. It troubles him. He could have just said, oh, well, it's just a dream, and he could have let things go. And, you know, that's what some people do today. They don't know, for example, whether they're going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. They don't know what to do in their life, and they say, oh, well, I'll just let it go. Folks, praise the Lord, the king had enough discernment to realize there are some things important enough to find the answer. I hope you realize, if you're younger, it may be harder to do so. I hope you realize you will spend eternity somewhere. Whether it will be in heaven or whether it will be in hell, those are the two choices, by the way. You will spend eternity somewhere. Some people say, well, I'll just wait and see what happens. That's a very foolish decision. I want to know. And there's a way to know, isn't there? Now, in the world today, there are a lot of people with a lot of ideas, and a lot of people that call themselves experts, they call themselves counselors, sometimes they call themselves pastors or prophets or whatever. And I just want you to know something. There's a picture in this passage of a lot of those people, and the picture, the king sees through them right away. He says, I know what you're going to do. You let me. If I tell you the dream, then what you're going to do is you're just going to tell me some false words. There's a lot of false ideas today, aren't there? A lot of people that think they're saved because some church told them that since you're baptized, you're saved. Folks, baptism doesn't save you. A lot of people that think that they can live their life any way they want, and it's not going to be an issue when they step into eternity, when the Bible says we're going to stand before Christ and be judged. And there are a lot of things in life that are more detailed than that. Little decisions that you need to make. Decisions that I need to make and you need to make perhaps this week. This year, for sure, we'll make some decisions that could be life-changing. And I would like to know what God has to say. The king has this dream, and he's troubled by it. It doesn't let him rest. In fact, it woke him up, but the dream is gone from him. He's forgotten, like many times we dream, and we forget what we dream. He's forgotten the dream. He threatens the Chaldeans. He says, this is a life or death matter. He says, if you can't tell me what the dream is, I'm going to kill you. But if you can tell me what the dream is, I'm going to reward you and honor you and give you great riches. A lot of incentive there. But listen to me, all the incentive in the world doesn't make it possible for you and I to know the secrets of God. There is a way to know, and it is from God himself. Now, when it comes to salvation, it's very straightforward, folks. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. There's no opportunity for you to come back and live life again. When you die, that's it. You're going to be judged. And the Bible says this, there are some people who will lift up their eyes in hell. And the Bible says there are some people that will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said for him, he said for me, he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One of those two choices lays for you there. And it's a life and death matter, isn't it? If you don't know how to be saved, if you don't know you are saved, if you never heard what you need to do to get saved, it's a life and death issue. You need to make that decision today. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. I just want to tell you that in every word I could possibly find in my mind, I would caution you, don't rest until you know where you're going to spend eternity. You could apply this passage that way so easily. And those of us that have been saved would say a hearty amen to the fact that it's good to know where you're going to go when you die. No question about that. So I want to apply this a little differently, and that is not just what's going to happen to you when you die. That's very important. If you need to apply it that way, then do so. But the other question is this, what are you going to do while you're alive? Where do you belong? What would God have you to do or do differently this week, this month, this year? What course does God set for your life? When you're younger, questions about who you should marry, what job you should have, and where you should go to school, for example, those kind of questions. When you get older, what course would God have in your life? What would He have you do? What church should you join? What ministry should you participate in? What other decisions should you make in your life? Folks, those are things God can show us. So the application is rather obvious. You can see three things in this passage, and this should go rather quickly, and I hope you get what you need to out of it. But first of all, let's just make it very clear. There are many men today, many people today, probably in this room, that are seeking the truth. I'm going to use that word over and over again. They're seeking what God would have for them to do or what they need to know. They're seeking the truth, and their spirit is troubled by it. Do you remember, those of you that are saved, how you felt the day you got saved? And were you not worried about going to hell? I've seen people, one in particular, and I won't name the person, but large eyes, the eyes were big, and the panic on the face, the realization that if that person were to die, they would go to hell, and that hell is real and eternity is forever. It's a lake of fire. It's not just a place where people are getting together in the dark partying. It's a place of fire, a place of torment, a place of eternal complete darkness and loneliness. And the only scream you're going to hear is your own, if any. It's a horrible place. And I've seen people, one in particular just comes to my mind, and when they came to me to be saved, their eyes were big and the fear was on their face. And the question was, what must I do to be saved? Very same question that the Philippian jailer asked Paul. Aren't you glad we have an answer for that? Aren't you glad that we know that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? That does not mean to believe He exists, because the Bible is very clear. The devils believe He exists and they tremble. But to believe on Him means to trust Him for salvation. Not in a casual, unclear way, but in a very specific and clear way. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I today could be a Daniel to somebody who needs to know that truth. But what about a more practical thing for you and I that we are saved? What does God want us to do in a certain situation? What does God want us to know? Or what is it that God would lead us into in this coming year? This is really the second Sunday of the year. We're just getting started. We talked to somebody before church, and they said it's going to be nice for things to get back to normal. And I think we're back to normal at school and having a good school year. Just started out this week. I'm looking so forward to teaching the Revelation to the students. Going to begin the seven churches tomorrow. We've got a year ahead of us, and we have decisions to make, don't we? Should I do this? Should I do that? What should I not do? What should I change? What does God want for me in my life? And folks, when you don't know what to do, you have to admit to me, it's troubling. There have been times in your life where you came to a crossroads or a fork in the road, let's say. Should I do this or should I do that? and you didn't know. And you knew you wanted to make the right answer, and it troubled the right decision, and it troubled you. And that's the first picture we see here is this king. He's troubled. He sees that there's something that he needs to know, and he can't find the answer, and he's troubled. This absence of truth troubles his spirit. It mentions that in verse 3. It says, he says, my spirit was troubled to know the dream in his case. The world may think it has the answer. You can go down and one of the greatest categories of books you can find in the bookstore are what are called self-help books. What should I do in my life? You know, I got one self-help book for you. It's this one right here. It's the only self-help book you need because the one that wrote it can help you. And by the way, please hear this carefully. Sometimes you can't help yourself. Sometimes God has to help you. But God will show you what you need to do. There is truth to be found in this book. Finding the truth is a matter of life and death, as the king says to these fellows in verse 5. He says, I wanted you to know this. If you can't interpret this dream, I'm going to cut you in pieces. He says later in verse 9, there's but one decree for you. And he says, you've prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. He says, but if you don't interpret this dream, you're going to die. You know, there are things worse than death. Of course, if you're dead and you're lost, that's pretty bad. That's about as bad as it gets. But to be dead as a saved person is to step into the presence of Christ. Sometimes we as saved people can live an uncomfortable, unhappy, unpleasant, difficult life. You know what the Bible says? The way of transgressors is hard. When we choose to live in sin, it's not an easy life, it's a hard life. There are some things that we can do in our life if we'll do them God's way that can give us a better life. And so I hope you're like this king. I hope you want to know the truth. And I hope you realize you just can't go anywhere to find it. You got to go to the right place. The king does something that some people have done. And I won't read the verse again, but here's what the king says. I've given the magicians a chance. I've given the astrologers a chance. I've given the sorcerers a chance. The wise men of the Chaldeans, I've given them a chance. None of them can help me, so I give up. Kill them all. I give up on wisdom. I'm not even going to look for it. Just kill all the wise men. I don't care. And unknowingly, he's made a mistake that's going to lead to his deliverance because when the word is given to kill all the wise men, Daniel and his three friends are included in the list. And I like what Daniel says. If you look with me in verse 17, please. Verse 14. Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel says, I don't have the answer, but I know somebody that does. Now, you got to believe me when I tell you this. God knows what you and I don't know. And God knows what you and I need to know. And God knows when you and I need to know it. I've had several instances in my life where I had to make enormous decisions. Probably the biggest decision you ever make in your life is who you marry. And listen to me, when you choose who to marry, if you'll go to God, he'll show you. But I want you to know this, once you get married, you're married. So you need to make the right decision. But the biggest decision that I went to God for in my life that I can recall was in the spring of 2002 when the question came, should I leave with my family? Should I take my family and leave Utah and go pastor a church in Maryland? And I've told some of you this story before. I'll be very brief. I was looking for God's will. And in two or three different events, God showed me very clearly, that's where I want you. It's called a call where God gives you that specific information. And once you know what God wants, folks, do it. And I told you this story, but I'll mention it briefly. I was studying for a message that I was going to preach there in Maryland, and the message was from the book of Esther, where the question is asked of Esther by Mordecai, her uncle, and he asked her, he says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I prepared my message, my Sunday morning message from that verse. And I went to the church in Maryland with my wife, and we were there for 5 days with our family. And Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting in the auditorium waiting to meet with the deacons. And I look over on the wall of the whole auditorium. There's one little plaque. It was about that big, and it was behind the piano. And I thought to myself, I wonder what that plaque says. And I walked over to it, and it says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I thought, I think God's involved in this. Amen? You know, it feels good when you got God's answer. You know, if God says go and you go, you're going to be all right. If God says don't go and you don't go, you're going to be all right. But if you get that backwards, you're going to have trouble. And I knew sure as the world, before I even met with the deacons, before I even preached on Sunday, that God wanted me in Maryland and my family in Maryland. And it turned out to be very successful. When I came here, I sought God's will. When you do things in your life, seek God's will. And it should trouble you if you don't know what God wants. And you may have to wait. Daniel says, I'm going to need some time here. But look what happens. In Daniel chapter 14, in verse 14, actually verse 16, he says, give me some time. Look at verse 17. You with me, Daniel 2:17? He went to his house. He made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his three companions that would soon be in a fiery furnace, by the way, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What did he do? He went to some close friends and he says, pray with me. And God gave him an answer. Think God still does that? Think God's quit telling people what to do or quit leading them or quit caring for them? I don't. I think God still does that every day. I think God can do that in my life and in your life this year. What should we do as a church? What should we do as individuals? What should I do in my situation, whatever it might be? Folks, find the answer from God. Don't just guess. Don't be troubled and give up. Find the answer from God. Some men have given up, like the king. He says, kill them all. But praise the Lord, some people go to God and get the answer. Daniel knew that God can reveal truth. Don't you believe God knows exactly what's good for you this year? Any situation you're in, God knows what's good. Now, sadly, some people don't care what God thinks. They said, well, you know, I want to do this with my life, or I want to do that with my life, and I don't think God would approve, but I'm going to do that anyway. Sadly, sometimes I find out that people have made a decision, and as their pastor, they never came and talked to me about it. And it's a big decision. And I think to myself, I asked a fellow one time, why didn't you come talk to me first? Back in Maryland a long time ago, there was this fellow, and he decided to do something that was ungodly with his situation. And I came to him and said, why didn't you ask me? He said, oh, I knew what you'd say. I knew what you'd say. I knew what the Bible said. I just didn't want to do it that way. That's a recipe for disaster, folks. But when you go to the Lord, and let me be very precise here, all right? There's probably not a verse in the Bible that says you ought to be an engineer or you ought to be a whatever. But the Bible can lead you. If you'll get in the Bible and you'll pray, God can lead you. He can open and close doors. He can show you things that you hadn't seen before. He can, I would fail to tell you the stories of the times I've prayed and God's done amazing things. I told you the story about my friend, the mechanic, George Rennick was his name, and he lived in Salt Lake City on the west side of the city. And he said, Pastor, he said, when I took my car to him, he said, I don't know what's wrong with your car. He said, but God does. He said, and if I pray, God will probably show me. Man, that guy could fix cars. And that's a good way to approach things, isn't it? I don't know, but God does. And if I ask him, he can show me. I've told you the stories. I've sat down at a computer with a problem I could not figure out and gotten frustrated and prayed, Lord, show me. Something would come along. Somebody walk in the door and say something, or I'd notice something I hadn't noticed before. That's a good way to live life. Why would someone want to live life just guessing and bumping around and falling into things when you can find the truth from God? There are people that know to go to God for the truth, and God does know the truth. It might take some time. It took Daniel some time. But wisdom and might are his. Let's finish with this. Just look what Daniel says after he has the answer. And by the way, once you get the answer from God, doesn't it feel good? You're troubled. I don't know what to do. Should I or should I not? How should I do this, that way or this way? And you're troubled and you don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, God shows you. And you get to feeling real good about things then. That's a good feeling to have when you know you're in God's will. So look what Daniel says about God as we finish this morning. Verse 20. Daniel, in verse 19, blessed the God of heaven. And he answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. He owns them. They belong to him. He can dispense them to us as we need. But wisdom and might are his. Wisdom, what should I do? Might, I need the strength to do it. God can give you both those things. You ever heard somebody say, I can't? I was a little boy, probably 5 years old, maybe four. I was kind of slow as a child in some areas. And so I was walking with my stepbrother out in the country in New Mexico. And we came up to this house. And there was a fellow sitting out in front of his house. And we're just walking around. And he said, what are you boys doing? We're playing. And he says to me, your shoe's untied. And I looked down and my shoe was untied. And he says, why don't you tie your shoe? And I said, I can't. He said, sure you can. Come here. And I walked over to him and he said, put your foot up here. And I put my foot up on a little table. And he said, so here's what you do. Do this. Then you do this. Then you do this. This morning I tied my shoes the same way that man taught me 60 years ago. And it's not that you can't. Sometimes you just need somebody to show you how. And sometimes you just need the strength to do it. And I don't know why, of all days, that was the day I learned how to tie my shoe. But I'll never forget that man and him showing me how to tie my shoes. And he moved away sometime shortly after that. I have no idea what happened to him. I hope he's saved and went to heaven. But don't say I can't. Let God show you how. Amen? I can't do it, somebody said. I got good news for you. God can. Might belongs to him. And he can give you what you need. Amen? Wisdom and might are his, Daniel says at the end of verse 20. Look at verse 21. This is good. He, that's God, changeth the times and the seasons. There's so many people today. We're worried about the weather. All the ice is going to melt. The oceans are going to overflood the countries and we're all going to die. And you know what the Bible says? God controls the boundaries of the seas. God controls the seasons. Now, I know when the tribulation comes, the weather is going to be bad, but we're not going to be here, amen? But God controls these things. If God can control the summer and the winter and the spring and the fall and the things that happen in the weather, if Jesus himself can calm the sea, can't he calm your situation? Can't he control the things that pertain to you? Daniel says, he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Now, I know some of us are very unhappy about the leadership in our country right now. And I'm not going to get into that with you, but I do know this. God can put somebody else in. God can take somebody out. It amazes me that it seems like no matter who's in control, God's still really in control. The heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. He setteth up kings. He's the one that puts people in and takes people out. Look at verse 21. This is what you and I need. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And folks, this book is understanding. If you'll get in it and know it, he will give you wisdom and knowledge. Listen carefully, young people. We're almost done. He revealeth, verse 22, the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I was in the army and we'd move around at night. And when you're walking around at night, bad things can happen to you. You can trip over a log. You can fall into a hole. You can walk into a cactus. I've done all of those. And then They came to us one day and they said, we have a great thing here. You need to try these out. They're night vision goggles. And they gave me a pair. And I put those things on and I could see everything. In fact, and this was a long time ago, they're better at it now than they used to be, but there was a little thing on the top of this thing. It's a source, infrared source. You turn that thing on, it's like you had a flashlight. I could see the trees, I could see the leaves, I could see the ground, I could see everything. And it was such a great thing to be able to know, even though it's dark, I can see where it is, and a lot of folks can't. I can see where to go, and I can see what to avoid, and a lot of folks can't. I can sneak up on somebody that way. I can stay out of trouble that way. Folks, I got the best pair of night vision goggles for life right here. Amen? This book can show you what to do. All right, we got to finish up. We're losing them by the truckload here. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. The light dwelleth with him. Verse 23, he says, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. He says, God gave him wisdom and might. I got a question for you. Has God given you wisdom? Have you asked him for it? Has God given you might? Have you asked him for it? Sounds to me like he's able. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. We looked at that passage on the Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the year. Sunday night maybe, I can't remember. But anyway, last week. Folks, if you don't know, you could. God can show you. I don't know what you need wisdom for or might for in the year ahead, in the days ahead. But I'm telling you, please, oh please, oh please, would you go to God and let him show you. And by the way, it might not hurt, like Daniel did, to get a couple other folks praying for you at the same time. Amen? Let God direct us. This is not just, oh, figurative, maybe that'll happen. It's real. This is how to live a life that's going to please him. And when you stand before him someday, you hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Without this, you're just going to get yourself in big trouble. And you're not going to find a way out. Let's all stand and pray.